In our final talk for this series, we'll review some of the main points we've covered so far, and I'll make some suggestions about where to go from here. In the introduction, I pointed out three primary reasons that pilots are drawn to meditation practice: improved performance, improved resilience in the face of adversity, and reduced stress or anxiety. Regular mindfulness and meditation practice can have a very positive impact on these life challenges by changing our relationship to our busy, negatively biased, relentlessly thinking mind. Thinking isn't our enemy, and thinking doesn't go away when we meditate regularly. Our minds aren't bad, and we aren't somehow defective because we're distracted by thinking. Awareness and its relationship to thinking simply needs to be trained to behave in a manner that's more consistent with our best intentions. We can develop a more wholesome awareness that's less susceptible to distraction and negative autopilot modes of chasing our own tail. The awareness exercise we do in our mental gym is meditation, which gives us the strength of mindful awareness, so we don't spend so much time barking at whatever passes by our fence. In talk one, the raisin exercise, we began to untangle awareness from thinking by learning the difference between the world of direct experience and the world of stories, concepts, and ideas. We begin to see that directing awareness out of stories about past and future and into our present moment situation is something we can do on purpose. Intentional awareness of our situation, or as we say in pilot speak, SA. In talk two, we focused on using the sensation of breath in the body as an anchor for awareness. This introduces the exercise of breath meditation as a way of getting out of our thinking head and into our actual present moment experience. We quickly realized that this isn't easy, that our awareness wants to default to getting wrapped up in thinking. We set the intention to bring awareness to the breath, get our dog to sit, and sustain it there, get our dog to stay, but it keeps wandering off. This is normal, and we shouldn't get pissed off with ourselves when this is what's happening. Bringing awareness back over and over again is the weightlifting of meditation. Sit, stay, good dog. In talk three, we began to explore the tension that becomes visible to us in the body and mind when we actually do get awareness untangled from thinking. Who put that tension there? We compare meditation to IFR flying. Paying attention to sensations of our breathing in meditation as a way to stabilize our experience, similar to the artificial horizon in an aircraft. Bank increases, correct back to level. Mind wanders off, correct back to breath. We make these corrections based on what our instruments or sensations in the body are telling us right now, in this moment. Not what our instruments read yesterday or what they'll read tomorrow, because past and future are all about stories, concepts, and ideas. Stories about our instruments won't keep you right side up. We also learned the value of a favorable meditative CG. A top-heavy CG, awareness all up in our head, is unstable, like an aft CG in an aircraft. Awareness grounded in the body, lower and less head-centric, is more favorable and stable. In talk four, we looked at the experience of tunnel vision. Learning a new skill, like flying or checking out in a new jet, often results in a kind of tunnel vision. Our awareness is contracted, like looking at everything through a cardboard tube, and tends to jump from thing to thing in a more stress-producing way. Whether it's a new jet or a new meditation practice, contracted awareness is similar. We benefit when awareness is more relaxed, open, and inclusive. We gain this more relaxed, open, and inclusive awareness with practice and experience. Also, by being curious. Curiosity about what's actually going on in our present moment experience. Curiosity and willingness, not negativity and reactivity, are what's required if we want SA while flying or meditating. In Talk 5, the halfway point, I talked about how to use this program and the practice itself to make it more useful for you as an individual. I pointed out that the amount of information and the variety of approaches to the practice being offered should never lead you to overcomplicate meditation and mindfulness. I emphasized the importance of keeping it simple, and that if it seems too complicated, just go back to the breath, breath in the body. I talked about our busyness of mind in terms of an abundance of often unnecessary baggage we carry around with us on autopilot. This isn't to say that all that baggage or all that thinking is bad and unnecessary. Mostly, it's the dog chasing its own tail, ruminative kind of thinking that creates the unnecessary burden. Meditation and mindfulness practice allows us the discernment to know what thinking to value and what to let go of. If awareness is stuck in our head full of bees, we won't be able to see our relationship to our own thinking. Thinking happens. Don't take it personally. In Talk 6, we explored tension in the body and tension in the mind and how they can fuel each other. We may have an expectation bias that when we experience something like cold temperatures, it will be unpleasant. When we let go of the stories, cold is simply a collection of sensory inputs that are actually quite interesting, provided we're not freezing to death or suffering from frostbite. We may expect that when crew scheduling appears on our caller ID, we're about to get screwed. This may or may not be true, but does adding tension in the body and mind help? In Talk 7, we discussed impulse control and negative or critical mind states. Whether our negative or critical mind state is fueled by external or internal forces, it tends to create a momentum of mind that makes us suffer. Meditation slows or stops that momentum on and off the meditation cushion, which allows us to bring a more wholesome mind state with us off the meditation cushion and into the world. We explored the impact a critical, judgmental mind has on us as a knife that cuts both ways. We looked at why not scratching the itch has practical, real-world value for us. The practice of impulse control in meditation has a positive impact on our relationship to internal and external forces that tend to destabilize us in our daily life. We explored how practicing impulse control can help us regarding not only what we do, but what we think. I also invited you to consider the possibility that it's possible to do many things quickly without feeling rushed or becoming irritated. I pointed out that more often than not, if there's irritation in our experience, we put it there ourselves. And, of course, we don't do this deliberately. We do it on autopilot. Keep in mind, if your airplane runs into a mountain on autopilot, it probably wasn't the autopilot's fault. Meditation and mindfulness can give us a choice where previously we didn't even know a choice could be made. In Talk 8, we discussed the proliferation of thinking our mind does on autopilot and how it tends to hijack awareness. We explored our ability to use mindful awareness to observe thinking instead of being entangled with it. The examples I used were sitting in a one-room hut or being under a tree on a riverbank and watching thoughts come and go. Imagine that, using awareness to observe thinking instead of just being dragged around by whatever random crap our mind excretes. Thinking happens. In Talk 9, we practiced something one very stressed out primate named Alan Bartlett Shepard Jr. found useful in May of 1961. That is, the value of reminding ourselves that we're okay. We also reinforced this reassuring reminder by doing the same thing patriotic Americans do regularly. Placing our hand over our heart has a very positive impact on our direct experience, shifting our CG of awareness and creating a feeling of connectedness to ourselves and others. We do this for reasons similar to a Pledge of Allegiance when we take the time to pause, state our best intentions, and feel gratitude. This I'm okay practice is available whenever we want, in addition to our regular meditation practice, but not as a substitute or replacement for it. This brings us full circle to where we are now, wrapping up talk number 10 in this introductory series. I'll conclude by making some suggestions on where to go from here. I hope that you're realizing some benefit from the practices we've covered. If so, keep it up and practice every day. It should continue getting better. If your stress level is increasing, another approach may work better for you. Remember, we're not only developing the strength of meditation, concentration, and focus in our mental gym, we're also bringing the skill of mindful awareness into our daily life. Whether you're about to make a free throw to break the tie in a championship game or shutting down the correct engine in an aircraft emergency, the value of a trained awareness capable of paying attention on purpose to what's actually happening without the distraction of a head full of bees can't be overstated. Situational awareness, mindful awareness, is awareness of our actual situation, not our stories, concepts, and ideas about it. Panic, fear, anxiety, stress, lack of focus, lack of resilience, negativity, reactivity, and so forth are all alive and well if our head is full of bees. The absence of these things, the ability to concentrate, focus, direct awareness on purpose with our best intention, is the quality of mind available when we let those things go. And we do this right here, right now, over and over again in our mental gym. So, if you find this practice valuable, I'd like to make some suggestions on how to proceed from here. First, make this practice part of your daily routine. Value it like you value brushing your teeth or getting a good night's sleep. Second, continue to educate yourself. Listen to talks. Feel free to listen to this series as often as you like. You'll be able to understand and incorporate more and more each time through. Read articles. Find books on the subject. Be both skeptical and curious about the value and science of mindfulness. Third, get involved in a community of mindfulness practitioners. This wasn't easy for me in my local community in Southwest Florida. At first, I was driving an hour each way once a week to sit with a group that ended up being a bit too Buddhist and religious for my taste. So, I started my own sitting group in my local community. Fourth, experiment with the length of your meditation sessions and figure out what works best for you. The amount of time devoted to meditation practice varies from individual to individual and changes over time. When I started meditating, I was listening to talks and meditating 20 minutes a day. My average sit is now 40 minutes. Some days more, some days less. I can count on one hand the number of days I've missed in the past few years. Find what works for you and feel free to download timers of varying length from our website. You can check out other meditation timers and apps like Insight Timer as well. Fifth, if the practice seems too complicated, too many things to remember, too much going on, just go back to the breath, the sensation of breathing in the body. If your life in general seems too complicated, same thing. Bring awareness to what's actually going on and pay attention, right here, right now. When you're about to shut down an engine in an emergency, you pause, don't you? By bringing intentional awareness to the situation, you're less likely to screw it up. In daily life, when things get difficult, check in. Just that brief moment can make a huge difference. Sixth, perhaps you're finding that this mindfulness and meditation stuff is working for you. Maybe you're finding relief from stress and improved attention and focus in your daily life. If so, consider doing our full 6-week program. Mindfulness meditation for airline crew members is now available on our website. The last guided meditation in our series is intended to help you become more independent in your practice. It's simply a beginning and ending bell separated by 10 minutes of silence. By now, you should know what to do. Mindfulness and meditation, my particular specialty, is only one in a wide variety of wellness solutions we offer pilots. From our cockpit to yours, be well and be safe.